This is episode 136 of the A News Podcast, which covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on anarchist news. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, see you at your favorite non-sectarian anarchist site, anarchistnews.org.
What's new this week? Call for submissions to High on Crime, mostly a series of questions for a publication on individualist anarchy, illegalism, and straight edge. The questions prompting you to write something for this publication are things like, what does individualist and or nihilist straight edge look like to you? What are some fun criminal activities a straight edge anarchist enjoys since they're not getting fucked up at parties, etc.? I would like to see what people do with such a publication. I expect it would be less nihilist, individualist, and or illegalist, and more straight edge, but would like to be proven wrong.
Libertarian Manifest on the Ecuadorian Crisis, from Freedom News. Not what an English speaker would call a manifesto, this post is the text of a flyer handed out in Quito from the group Solidaridad Anarquista Ecuatoriana. It's pretty solid as far as it goes. Quote, comrade, you have to be very careful, not to fall into the hands of opportunists, those who want to use you as cannon fodder to thrust you against the military and the police. The political parties, the Correa's supporters, the Christian Social Democrats, Creo, Moreno's supporters, they want you first in line to shed your blood so they can take power. Careful, friend, that if we march, it doesn't have to be for a political party. We fight for justice, for the emancipation of the working people. We don't only fight against the Picotazo, but against the neoliberal policies, unquote. Not to sound like crime think or anything, but saying how to avoid these dangers would have been helpful too.
Why the Turkish Invasion Matters, from Crimethink. I hate the song about the snake and the woman. I like snakes. I hate how they are the metaphorical bad guys of a culture oversteeped in stupid Christian symbolism. I like people doing nice things for each other. And I hate self-righteous, I told you so-ism. But the story of the Kurds and the U.S., in this case Trump and previous regimes' other politicians, finally makes me have room for that song, notwithstanding the ways it continues to be terrible. Do we need an article talking about how terrible it is that the U.S. betrayed the scrappy, brave, remarkable, underfunded, under-resourced underdogs who have done the bulk of the work against ISIS? I don't know, maybe. Do we need a piece that blames Trump specifically for this act? I'd say no. Do we need a reminder that politicians do this shit to distract from things they're having a hard time with? Maybe. Quote, the timing of Turkey's invasion has likely been determined in part by Donald Trump's response to the impeachment inquiry. U.S. presidents have a longstanding tradition of initiating military interventions to distract from domestic issues. The Trump version of this tradition is to intentionally reignite a civil war by pretending to end it. Worldwide, the far right seems to be trying to co-opt anti-war rhetoric the same way they appropriated anti-globalization slogans, while actually intensifying military aggression and capitalism. This is the same looking-glass world right-wing isolationism that we saw when Hitler was annexing territory in Europe. We seem to have progressed very rapidly from repeating the early 1930s to reenacting the later 1930s, unquote. I'm sure there are people who continue to need to hear all the ways that Trump is fucking people over. I just don't think most of them call themselves anarchists.
Anarchist activity in Belarus. Recent news from Pramen. Very brief updates with video clips, mostly about actions in solidarity with Dmitry Polyenko and the apparent state reaction of slowing the trial down as it figures out how to deal with a more explosive case than it expected. Quote, so-called parliamentary elections are coming up in Belarus. With no fair counting of votes, they are going to be another spectacle of a dictator which aims to legitimize his rule. The Pramen group issued a leaflet calling all the citizens to boycott this slapstick, unquote. Good luck to all, including Dmitry.
Italy, raids in Genoa, from Act for Freedom. State forces act out against our friends with home raids, confiscation of property, etc. Quote, their goal is not just to give years in prison and custodial measures, but also to spread fear among the sworn enemies of the state by making them feel closely watched and controlled in the hope of achieving their annihilation and retirement to a frustrating but comfortable life, one that is not a thorn in their side or of those they defend. Sometimes they get results, such as dissociation and taking distance, which actually plays into the hands of power, often by concealing cowardice behind political lines. As far as we are concerned, we will remain where we are, strong in our ideas and surrounded by those who are in solidarity with us and not interested in attributing guilt or innocence for the acts we are accused of." Unquote. Yeah.
The Uprising in Ecuador, Inside the Quito Commune, from CrimeThink. This interview with people on the ground in Ecuador has very little anarchy in it. It could easily have been a talk with any leftist. Hashtag sad. It's journalistic-y, so if you want to know what's happening and some of what has happened before, and what might happen next, then have fun. Quote, "This is also interesting. Neither political parties nor traditional politicians have been able to appropriate what is happening. The only authorities who propose more policies that are seen as possessing legitimacy are the leadership of the FUT and CONAIE unions, which are currently leading the mobilizations. In fact, the power lies in all the people on the streets, and that is very scary to the right, to the bourgeoisie, to the bankers, to the owners of the country, because the street does not accept any of the political leaders." Unquote. That was as good as it got.
Memorial for Portland Activist now includes graffiti on Democratic headquarters, from Oregon Live. Mainstream media reports not on the death of a Portland activist, but on the graffiti marking the event. Fucking classic. This is perhaps most notable for the response from the official of the Democratic Party of Oregon. Quote, "Some of the graffiti messages are deeply troubling," Woon said, "but any damage done is insignificant compared to what these mourners are going through. We're trying to be sensitive to that. It's a building. We can always repaint. We do want to get the timing right on that and not further upset folks. We certainly don't support things that would incite further violence." Unquote. Yes, that definitely makes me want to know what was deeply disturbing. Ha!
Emile Armand on Friendship, 1928. The great contract and free sex and individualism promoter being also Mr. Wholesome. These are 6 points about friends and friendship that are worth writing down and taping to our mirrors in these days of cancel culture and other bullshit. Quote, 5. Beyond good and evil, certainly. In disgrace or in triumph, in inconsistency or in conformity. In vice and in virtue, even if the search for their individual equilibrium, even if the affirmation of their individuality leads or drives them to commit all sorts of acts, reprehensible to the great majority, incomprehensible to me. 6. As long as the vibration persists, I will remain faithful to my friendship, for friendship has nothing in common with caprice. My friendship is adventure and experience, probably the most formidable of adventures, and perhaps the longest and most complicated of experiences." Unquote. It is kind of funny that the points are numbered, but nothing wrong with quirky.
Italian Americans should celebrate Sacco and Vanzetti Day. From Teen Vogue, lol, by Lucy Diavolo. So, not that long ago, Teen Vogue had a piece on Emma Goldman. They either have a staffer who's an anarchist, or they're working on being relevant to today's youth, or both. But let's just be amused while we can. This story suggests that Sacco and Vanzetti deserve remembrance more than Columbus, which at one step both addresses colonization, the plight of immigrants, oppression by the state, who makes history, violent resistance, false imprisonment, and more. There is some confusion about what pacifism means by the piece's author, as pointed out by Anon. Being anti-war is not the same thing as being pacifist, but I would call that a minor point given the elegance of the overarching premise, informing today's youth of a court case that unified the world of the time and probably birthed more anarchists than any other single state action. Quote, "Sacco and Vanzetti were executed by electric chair on August 23, 1927. It's on this day, already celebrated as Sacco and Vanzetti Day since 1977, that I recommend we celebrate the duo as victims of a state-sponsored campaign targeting immigrants with radical politics. In doing so, Italian Americans can acknowledge how much has changed for them in the decades since anti-immigrant sentiment targeted them, and celebrate solidarity not with a colonial monster, but with a couple of working class stiffs who got a bum rap because of who they were and what they believed." Unquote. This story kind of makes me happy. Like I said, let's enjoy it while it lasts, and maybe keep an eye on this Lucy person.
The Original War on Terror, from History News Network, by Eric Lorson. Mainstream history / review of a book that is well worth reading and very anarchist friendly. The book reviewed is called Assassins Against the Old Order, Italian Anarchists in Fin de Siècle Europe, out of University of Illinois Press, also sounds like it is worth reading. From the review, quote, "How did assassination then enter the toolkit of Italian anarchists? In the decades following Italian unification in 1870, anarchism appealed to the Mazinian Democrats disillusioned with the outcome of the Risorgimento, who increasingly conceived of their struggle in terms of social revolution. Pernicone and Ottonelli write, "If the Attentat could serve the cause of national liberation, it could serve the new social struggle as well." Italian anarchists established a direct linkage that was never broken between anarchism and the legacy of violence embedded in the revolutionary traditions of the Risorgimento, unquote. If all history were as engaging, relevant, and easy to read as this review, we'd all be better educated.
Statement on the passing of Sean Kelleher from Anarchist Communist Group by Kraftwerk. Quote, Sean, who I came to know through ultra-left circles on social media, went by different names online, some of these referring to past Italian anarchists. Although the names might have changed, behind them all was the same knowledgeable, courageous, funny, interesting person. We shared laughs at the nonsensical world of politics, modern anarchism, and leftist drama. It was obvious that Sean was a militant anti-fascist and principled anarchist, an enemy of the society with its cops, prisons, and oppression, while being completely unpretentious and down-to-earth, unquote. This post and the one about the graffiti seem like a good combination of memorial stories, a combo that perhaps Armenia would have appreciated.
Turkish diplomatic vehicle torched from anarchists worldwide. Quote, we greet our friends in Rojava and all those who fight against Turkish fascism. As a sign of solidarity, we set fire to a Turkish diplomatic car last night. It was parked about 200 meters from SPD headquarters on the Halishin-Ufer Road. Fight for Rojava! We dedicate this action to the two revolutionaries, Dikle Ahmed and Tekosin Kurdistan, who died on October 1st in the northern Kurdish province of Kolomarg. Unquote.
If poverty is a crime, what are those who enforce it and protect it? From A. Infos. From Greek prisoner Christopher Cortez, here is a machine translation of his account of his arrest for theft and his thoughts about it and crimes of poverty in general. Quote, for the police judicial cluster, the problem of the healthy social body was me. So a team was immediately set up to identify and arrest me, which is what police say. It would be inappropriate or out of the question if he believed that in every complaint of attempted theft, the Greek police fired at people. And home research went in a timeline, failing to search for thefts since they never left the store, seizing political texts, convention minutes, an antique typewriter, digital media, and parachuting. The investigator, in turn, has shown disproportionate interest in the structure of the collectivity I am involved in, what the anarchist's relationship with violence is, what the collectivity's relationship with EA is, and many other things irrelevant to the attempted theft, unquote. The translation definitely gets in the way of some of the facts, but the gist of security forces changing their tactics, acting friendly, pulling in more aggressive interrogators, and collaborating with the police is one worth reviewing frequently. When we're detained, there is always a push-pull regarding how much we pretend to not hate the police in order to get away from them as quickly and with as few repercussions as possible. Stories about how that does and doesn't work, what to look out for, what to factor into that negotiation, are helpful when we take them seriously.
Anarchist Film Festival Benefit for Anarchist Defense Fund from A Infos. There is no link to the Anarchist Defense Fund, but presumably the benefit is for the International Anarchist Defense Fund, which is endorsed by only three groups on their website. I would expect such a good idea and valiant project to have far more testimonials. I love the idea of this defense fund and just wish there was more information about it from reliable sources, but perhaps that is coming. Anyway, film benefits can be fun, and this benefit comes complete with anti-discrimination safe space statement. Safety!
Vengeance units claim sabotage and Selatan tunnel from anarchists worldwide. Quote, as part of the ongoing self-defense actions carried out by vengeance units Sayet Ziyagar and Sayet Zaryan vengeance units carried out an action using homemade bombs on October 12th for the 75th anniversary of the Selatan tunnel on the Izmir-Aden motorway. As a result of our action, the Izmir-Aden motorway was closed for hours. As long as the barbaric invaders of the Turkish state continue to carry out massacres and rain bombs on the Kurdish people in Kurdistan, the metropolises of Turkey will not be able to resume a normal life. This is a genocidal war launched by the Turkish state against the Kurdish people. While the Kurdish people are resisting the occupation with their anger and determination, we, as self-defense fighters of the Kurdish people, promise to continue carrying out retaliation attacks against the invaders in their workplaces, their homes, and on the street, anywhere and at any time, unquote.
Audio and video, Bad News, episode 27, October 2019. 39 minutes from A Radio Network. As the description states, quote, a network of anarchist and anti-authoritarian podcasts, radio shows, and radio stations from around Europe, North and South America, unquote, bringing you stories about Greek repression, the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, and Syria. The strange industrial noises they used for background music is an interesting choice, particularly when one segment is abruptly cut off by the sound of a stapler or a nail gun or something. Art!
The Children of Piraeus, a video short, 7.5 minutes from Transmetropolitan Review. In the vein of Transmet's previous videos, this is a short collection of surveillance, news, and deterrent, well, not really deterrent, movie footage, combined with text from a communique by the Revolutionary Anarchist Armed Strugglers, a group that blew up a, quote, mafia, unquote, bar in Athens and shot at some cops. I'm not really sure what Transmet is trying to get across with this video, as it is just very hard to read. Red text! Ah! Portions of the communique over sometimes related, sometimes not, footage. Other than, I guess, bombs and Molotovs equal cool? I thought we already knew that.
Mutual Exchange Radio, Jahid Muhammad on Epistemological Anarchism, 1 hour and 9 minutes from C4SS. Taking its title from Paul Farabend's idea that, quote, the idea of the operation of science by fixed, universal rules is unrealistic, pernicious, and detrimental to science itself, unquote. This is an interview with an anarchist from the Pacific Northwest about radical science at a biohacker-type conference thing. To be honest, going into a podcast put out by the Market Anarchist website with a biohacker dude was not something that sparked a lot of joy in me, and yet, this is actually pretty all right. Jahid comes off as someone who is sincerely interested in people taking their health into their own hands. Where the interview loses my interest is its obvious focus on DIY pharmaceutical production without ever actually questioning the bias/fuckery of Western pharmacomedicine as a system, blowing off alternatives as, quote, crystals, unquote.
Introducing Anarchy Bang, episode 41, Social versus Antisocial Anarchism, 2 hours. Quote, what is antisocial anarchism? Perhaps the better question is whether there should be a hard line drawn between social and antisocial anarchism. Is the difference just one of different goals? Is it just about Stirner? We assume most anarchists are social, but what does that mean in the era of social media being comprised of everyone equally alone in darkened bedrooms and sad lives? This week, we'll discuss the goals of the antisocial, a bit about scale, and how technology has put its foot right into our daily lives, and that absolutely means right in our desire to fuck shit up. What to do? Unquote.
On her way to work one morning, down the path alongside the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor half-frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Oh, well, she cried.
Topic of the week, solidarity. I've been monitoring the news lately, and it is bad. An anarchist and anti-fascist comrade was run down, presumably by fascists. Across the world, the Turkish military is invading and decimating the YPG-YPJ held areas of Kurdistan. In Athens, the anarchist neighborhood of Exarchia is under assault by the state. All of these things seem both overwhelming and like things that call for actions in solidarity. And yet, I find myself unsure what would be effective. Solidarity, at least in North America, in these sorts of reactive moments, often is shown by banner drops, a broken window or several, or flyers and graffiti, all of which make a blip in the anarchist news cycle, sometimes making it to the mainstream media for a minute, but often it does little to affect the situation that it attempts to show solidarity with. In other parts of the world, solidarity sometimes looks like something else. What have been examples of solidarity that have resonated with you? What are ways we can push the concept of solidarity beyond the spectacular? Or is the spectacular the best we can hope for from acts of solidarity?
So, to start with, I would say that the acts of solidarity that are the most resonant with me are the ones that are sort of the personal touching acts about individuals who are involved in something terrible. So, for instance, our friend who was killed in Portland, the places and the people that have done solidarity acts that sort of look like fireworks displays or that specifically mention him by name. Those are the ones that have felt the best. I think that, you know, if you're like trying to play Stratego with the anarchist political space, then probably you're just trying to get him mentioned by mainstream media. But because the facts on the ground are so unknown or people are still, you know, keeping very tight-lipped about it, like if this were a case where, you know, we were just waiting for the fascists to get caught by the cops and then the story would unfold and be very clear, then that would be one thing. But I think, in fact, because it just appears that whatever has happened in Portland was complicated, I think until that complication gets settled, people don't feel comfortable trying to turn this into a mainstream media sort of conversation. So traditional acts of anarchist solidarity, lighting off fireworks, just making a brouhaha, makes sense. I think that now is the time for people to write some nice things about Armenia that maybe focus more on the content of his thinking rather than just the greatness of his personality. And I think that even more so when it comes to the YPG, YPJ, you know, American people have no idea what it means for the U.S. to be an ally of these groups at the same time that we're talking about them being this incredibly radical social revolution, at the same time that somehow Murray Bookchin should be talked about. Like, all of that makes solidarity very complicated, and I think that in the American context, it only makes sense to talk about this on an informational level. And then similarly with Exarchia, you know, Americans do, other than, you know, the specific anarchist milieu in the U.S., people in the U.S. do not understand that Exarchia is both this countercultural phenomena and this radical neighborhood that's been around for decades. All of that story should be told, you know, in sort of compelling, interesting ways. And more or less, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but probably we should be recommending that more American anarchist tourists start heading there because it seems like they need the bodies. Thoughts?
Well, before we started, I was saying I don't think I have much to say about this topic. I do think reading it through brought up some thoughts for me. I think so. The sort of like central part or the middle part of the write-up is talking about a kind of typical way of manifesting solidarity, and kind of the easy examples are kind of like the banner drops, the flyers, the graffiti, and I think that you know, there's kind of an implicit critique, I think, being written in that write-up, which is basically about who is this for,
who's the audience?
Who's the audience? Yeah, to put it differently, like there have been some really interesting examples of anarchists who have gone to prison and have sort of denounced certain acts of solidarity that have been made
on their behalf.
Yeah. And in the cases that I'm thinking of, and I'm not going to remember the names, it's like because the people who are claiming these acts of solidarity are like operating on a much more like populist level or on a basically have a kind of politics that is implicit or explicit in their actions or their communiques that would basically take away, would rewrite the narrative of who this person was and why they did what they did. And it's like, so I think that dovetails a little bit with what you're saying about like the importance of the stories that we tell about Exarchia or a comrade who has died or Kurdistan and what's going on there. And yeah, I'm not going to finish that sentence.
No, I mean, obviously, you've started you started to say something, and I'm not exactly sure I would feel the follow-up, other than to say that I do think that telling stories about Exarchia in particular was something that 10 years ago, around 2009, I mean, we were all doing and we were all believing these stories and you know, how Alexis connected to these stories. And it feels like the extent to which we're not doing this in the American context, we're not even doing it in the sort of exotic foreign contexts, is a real example of the way in which the anarchist space has really depleted in the past 10 years.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting to think about, like, what... I mean, I think what you're saying is that the depletion has something to do with, like, the power of our myths or something like this, right? Yeah. And that, like, the windows we break or the banners we drop without those myths are really, really, really empty, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is actually the big thing about the death of Arminio. The thing I would say about Arminio that is fantastic is they were very young, therefore it was possible to write myths on top of them. Whereas people who you have too much experience with or people who've been around for too long, it's a lot harder to make them mythological, you know, because... you watch them degrade into the mundanity of middle age.
Well, unless it's someone who goes out with a bang, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true. But you know, yeah. So, but Arminio, I in fact don't have any criticisms of Arminio other than the fact that he's young, you know, which meant that he had all kinds of young man problems. But he was great. He is a good myth. To tell a story of, you know, in other words, like one of the myths is about some altercations where Antifa and the alt-right got to actually be in the same room together, and he really stepped up, and you know, and I look forward to people who are actually there and who are actually, you know, who care for him to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the things that was interesting to see after Will died in Tacoma recently, was just the opportunity for people to tell his story and for him to tell his own story.
He did a good job, all things considered. You know, especially having a lot of music that was available. What's nice is to sort of see the next step in this kind of storytelling. Like, I don't want Will to die. And that means that I would like to have his friends and his family actually tell more meaningful stories about how Will connected to them and made their lives different because they existed. And, you know, obviously that's the same for Arminio. But I think that in the American context, we have a hard time. Like, I think a lot of people try to get trapped up in what's true, like facts on the ground or something, and that's never going to be a good way to make a myth.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of the, it reminds me of the most famous, or not famous, but famous in his place, anarchist legend of Biofilo Panclasta, who, like, his fame is not centrally among other anarchists, right? I mean, or maybe it is centrally there, but like, he's a household name, you know, that I'll tell the story. Like part of the story with Biofilo Panclasta is that, like, for reasons that I don't entirely understand, other than probably him living like a very colorful life, and having like a very epic name, like his name means lover of life, destroyer of all.
That's pretty good.
But he did, you know, he did a bunch of wild stuff, and then, you know, probably a bunch of things got exaggerated over time. But yeah, as far as we can tell, like, people, like, after he was dead, like mothers in Colombia would tell their kids, like, you better eat your vegetables or, like, Biofilo Pancasta is gonna, like, you know,
wow, punish you,
come get you or something, like, do some anarchist thing to you.
Yeah.
And, well, anyway, and so, like, in, you know, in working with his, with the legends about Biofilo and thinking about how does one become an anarchist legend, I don't know, it's an interesting question. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of it has to do with, like, who controls your story, right? And the more that it's being kind of controlled by people who are truth tellers, but in the crude sense, right? People who are kind of, like, I don't know, scholars or something, mm-hmm. right? Like, the more that it has this potential to just be dried out rather than being able to, like, flourish through
right.
exaggeration or,
I mean, the whatever. The biggest example I would say would be Novatore, right? The fact that Wolfie was the translator of Novatore's material allowed for Novatore to have an epic sense that if just a rational, reasonable, scholarly kind of person would have turned Novatore into something quite desiccated. By the way, there was sort of like a talking rumor for many years that Novatore was just sprung from Wolfie's mind.
That's interesting, because the same thing was said about Pancasta after we published the material that exists, which, you know, it's available in right. Spanish, and that's where we found it and so on. But, you know, part of the reason that people accused us of having made up mm-hmm. Pancasta is that someone had written, I think it was maybe anonymous, but someone had written a very short piece about Biofilo for a publication called Politics Is Not a Banana, which was released in around, I don't know, 2007. It was very
sassy and not sassy. True.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the piece on Biofilo was explicitly, it was someone who knew that he truly existed. But rather than sort of doing research, because he had heard, oh, there's this anarchist legend.
Oh, wow.
He kind of participated in treating Pancasta as a legend. And so later when we did this other thing, this translation project, you know, friends of mine would come up to me and be like, but you know, it's all fake, right? And it was a very weird conversation to navigate.
Totally. I mean, especially to be like, okay, so you're talking about Politics Is Not a Banana informed you that this thing was not true. Whoa.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we've probably strayed from the topic a bit, but I think
not at all. Because the point is, what acts of solidarity inspire you?
Right.
And to some extent, the act of myth-making inspires me.
Right, right. And I think I'm feeling similarly, right? It's like, I think, you know, the way that I would like to think about it is that the only people I would be acting in solidarity would be people who I have some affinity with, right? And so I can recognize that those people are different from me and that I shouldn't just, like, treat them as, you know, the same as me. But, like, to the extent that none of us really knows each other, and when we're trying to, like, figure out how to act in solidarity, I think it raises the question of, like, well, how do we, how do we engage with other people as the free spirits that we are or want to be? You know, I think solidarity as a term has this
old leftist tenor to it.
Yeah, but also definitely, like, a very, like, one that really very much feels like something that just turns you into a
Cog?
Yeah, Cog or whatever. Yeah. And it doesn't feel like a word that refers to these kinds of, like, these relations between free spirits or whatever, right? But I think that, you know, especially when I look at the international use of the term, often it does mean that.
Sure.
So,
it does seem, I mean, you know, yet again, America, the U.S. has this problem of turning everything that could be of value about something into something like Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Thank you for the conversation. You know there's work to be done. We've got to rescue the lost. Though the earth may shake
and the seas may talk. This week's podcast was sound edited by Greg. The What's New was written by Jackie and Greg and read by Chisel and Greg. And we thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week, solidarity. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org to learn more. Anarchist anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackheart.com for news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary. See you at anews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on anews.
I got up this morning, drove down to the nearest old folks' home. People are sick and dying.